الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وتوبوا إلى الله جميعا أيها المؤمنون لعلكم تفلحون صدق الله العظيم. حضرت وحشي رضي الله عنه greatly perturbed when he heard the verse of the Quran, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا يَزْنُونَ وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ يَلْقَ أَثَامًا. Those who make shirk, those who commit murder and that are guilty of zina and fornication, then they have fallen into serious sin. Their sin will be multiplied and they will remain perpetually in Jahannam. Basically, three wrongs: one is shirk, joining partners to Allah Ta'ala; one is being guilty of murder; and the other being guilty of fornication or adultery. So those that are guilty, they will enter into Jahannam and they will be therein perpetually. So Hazrat Wahshi, who had not yet accepted Islam, he was quite concerned about this, that there is no scope for me. Can I also get into Jannat? But when he heard this verse, he was shaken up. Him being the assassin of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu, the dear respected uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi sallam was murdered, Hamza was murdered and assassinated, abdomen was slit, then the liver was pulled out, the eyes were gouged out of their sockets. In a very gruesome state he was left. And Nabi Sim himself was very, very affected, very much touched. His own uncle, Nabi Sim was really moved. So this was troubling him now. Is there any way for me to get into Islam, to get my tawbah accepted, to get repentance? So he wrote up to Nabi Sim, آيَةٌ فِي كِتَابِكَ تَمْنَعُونِي أَنْ أَدْخُلَ فِي دِينِ. There's one verse that stops me from entering into your faith. What is the verse? This is that verse. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ, those who are not guilty of shirk, zina and murder. So this concern is a great concern. And Allah Ta'ala likes this. One that is concerned, he is full of remorse, he is ashamed of what he's doing, Allah Ta'ala likes this. Basically, man is divided into three categories. One is that person who commits a wrong, but he's blatant about it, he's brazen, he justifies the wrong that he's doing, he shows no remorse whatsoever. If I did a wrong, so what's so bad about it? So he shows an attitude, he shows no remorse, and he's blatant about the wrong that he's doing. So this is shaitan, obviously. that he's doing it blatantly, brazenly, and he shows no remorse, no regrets, he's not ashamed of the wrong that he's doing. So this is obviously the work of shaitan. Then you get a second category who don't even have the capacity of wrong, like the Anbiya alayhi salam. They don't even think of wrong. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the galaxy of the Anbiya, not even the thought of wrong passes their mind. Malaika, the Anbiya alayhi salam, the thought doesn't even occur to them. Then you get a third category of man, that you commit the wrong, but you are remorseful, you feel ashamed, you feel guilty of yourself. No, I'm doing something, I'm not doing right. So this is an indication of Bani Adam, that he is the true son of Adam alayhi salam. That you do wrong, but you feel remorseful about yourself, as Adam alayhi salam did when he slipped up. So he felt very much hurt, he felt remorseful. And in the state of remorse, he said, Rabbana salamna anfusana, I have wronged. So this Wahshi is also feeling very, very guilty, very upset about what he's done. And he writes up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, expecting and awaiting a response. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is the Rahmatul Lil Alameen, a blessing and a mercy for all people, he was also concerned now that, well, I have recited the verse that this type of people that get dispatched to Jahannam. But the man is concerned, he's remorseful, whatever he's done in the past. But he's very remorseful, deeply upset about what he's done. Is there any way, any exit? So the verse of the Quran Sharif comes down, إِلَّا مَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. The one that makes tawbah and آمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, he does good after that, righteous works, then Allah Ta'ala will change his wrongs to right. Wrong that he's got will be replaced to right deeds. So now look at the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, look at the kindness of Allah Ta'ala. You've been committing a wrong all your life, but when you showed remorse, you were really regretful of what you have done. So Allah Ta'ala is still ready to embrace you. He doesn't say, now because of the wrong, I've got a personal vendetta against you. So no, I will forgive you. And not only will I forgive, if you are sincere about this, and you try to make amends, correct yourself, then you yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat. That amend, looking for a way to amend, correcting yourself, is so dear to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala says that I will replace your wrongs with righteousness on the day of Qiyamah. Then Allah Ta'ala's servants are so dear to him, so loving to him, that when he's calling his ashirin to take an account, so Allah Ta'ala will cordon the person off. So there's no third person to witness this. Man may have committed a wrong in the darkness of the night, or in seclusion he must have committed a wrong, but he doesn't want to be embarrassed. It's going to be done, if this whole interrogation and this whole scrutinizing process, if it's done before people, he'll definitely feel embarrassed. Allah Ta'ala knows about it. How you feel, Allah Ta'ala knows more about your feeling than yourself. So he cordons you off so that no third person can come. كُلُّهُمْ آتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَرْدًا. Come alone to Allah Ta'ala, and he's cordoning you off. And then Allah Ta'ala questions you, see, why on this day, on this occasion, this was the wrong that you had done. This was the place, this was the wrong, this was the person, and this was the time that you have done it. So it's appearing clear to you like a video clip. Absolutely. There's no room for you to deny. You can't deny it. When it's appearing before you like a video clip, place, the time, the act, the person, everything is in total detail coming before you. Can you deny? Can you refuse? Can you reject? So perhaps this person must have got some good in him. He's been hiding away the faults of others, not advertising people's faults. مَنْ سَتَرَ عَنْ مُؤْمِنٍ سَتَرَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. You've been hiding and concealing the faults of others. Today I will show you my shan of rahmat, my splendor, my grandeur of rahmat, I will show it to you today. My servants, you were considerate to, so I will be considerate to you as well. And Allah will say, alright, for this wrong that you have done, Because you were remorseful, you tried to correct yourself, right? And you tried also to conceal the faults of others, you tried to correct. You were looking for ways, you worked towards it. In the process, you died. But you didn't commit the wrong and you became complacent thereafter. No. You committed the wrong, then you tried to correct. How must I make amends? How must I correct? How must I replace this sin? How must I compensate for the wrong? So he was looking for all that. And in the process, while trying, he died. So Allah Ta'ala will tell him, you see this wrong you have done, for this wrong, then I'm giving you this reward, this sawab, on Jannat I'm giving you. And for this wrong, I'm giving you this Jannat. So now he is watching the whole interrogation, he's getting shocked here, that I'm committing wrong, and just because of my remorse, I tried to correct myself, I was really sincere about it, but Allah Ta'ala is seeing me so beautifully. So he begins to remind Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, I got some other records also, other accounts also, Allah Ta'ala, you need to take account of that as well. So you see, Khuda ki rahmat ki shan ko dekho. Look at the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how much he loves his servants. He wants to give. And especially now, these are the Mubarak months, Zulqada, Zulhijjah, Muharram. Then you're getting Rajab, four Mubarak months. La tazlimu fihinna anfusakum. Allah Ta'ala says, be careful of yourself. In this month especially, be careful of yourself. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste anything. Look after yourself. And inshallah, you look after yourself within this period year. Thereafter, according to Allama Ibn Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi, the whole year goes well. But look after yourself within this period. Mubarak months, Hadis are crying at the Kaaba Sharif. Somebody is by the Rose Mubarak in Medina Munawara. So everybody is in action now. So Allah Ta'ala's mercy is also coming in force. So there must not be any person who is going to be deprived. So if you all are focused, correcting, trying to improve yourself, working towards it, Allah's mercy wants to come down. India had one famous poet, Jigar Muradabad. His poetry is quite popular. Those that are quite conversant with in Urdu poetry, they know about Jigar Muradabad. He rates amongst the 10 best poets of India. So, Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi was a student of Al-Mawad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. He is traveling and he meets up with Jigar Muradabadi. Both are very high ranking government officials, both of them. So he meets up with him. And this man being a poet, Jigar Muradabadi is a poet and he used to be an alcoholic. Drinking and drinking, you know, looking now to be at a different horizon so you can write. You know, when you're in the mood, then you can write. The poetry just flows. So you have to get yourself into that mood. So you should be drinking. And drinking like, really drinking like mad. So when Khaja Azizul Hasan meets up with him, so he complains, Jigar complains, you know what, you know my habit, I'm an addict, can't leave this thing. But I very much want to change my life. I want to come to your Hazrat, you know, to Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, and now correct myself for whatever I'm doing. But you see, the state I am in now, it's not right for me to come and pay a visit to this Hazrat. In this state, I'm an alcoholic, I'm in haram all the time, I'm in this curse all the time, and in this state to go and meet this Hazrat really is going to be disrespect. How can I do such a thing? So Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib tells him, yeah, but in this state it is not befitting, it is not appropriate for you to go and meet this Hazrat in the state that you are. Anyway, everything transpired here. Khaja Azizul Hasan reported the whole thing to Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that this is the situation. Okay, this man is a drunkard, he is virtually living over of wine, and he's an addict, he can't leave this thing here, but really he feels remorseful, he wants to correct himself, and he wants to come to you. And this is the discussion that we had. He says that it's not right for him to come and pay respects to you in the state that he is. And I supported him. To earth more, Thanvi Sahib says to Khaja Azizul Hasan Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, Main samajh raha tha ki tum samajhdar ho gaye honge. I thought you were an intelligent person, you were understanding. Malum wa to kuch samajhdar nahi. I understand you've got no brains, you don't understand still. I was upset now. Just as it kya kehta, what should I have told him? Bas inko yahi kehte, you should have told him this much, that in the very state that you are, you come in. Perhaps you're coming in, maybe a changing point in your life. It may bring about a revolution in your life. Just you're coming in. You are sincere. You are remorseful. You are on the right page. You're on the right cause. When you're on the right cause, it's just a matter of you taking a step in the right direction. You come and take the step in the right direction. It may just bring about a whole entire change in your life. So, Khaja Sahib, now he goes and relates this to Murad Jigar. Okay, this is the discussion we had, and this is what I had said. Now Jigar says, now, ab mere liye yahan par rehna haram hai. Now I can't stay here. I must go and meet the Hazrat, correct myself, I must make amends. There's no such a thing like perpetuity in this world. This world, jo bhi aaya, jaane ke liye aaya. You came, you go, you came to leave. There's no such a thing that you came here and you're going to be here forever. Don't you see everything in this life fades away? It peaks and then there's a decline. Youth and how beautiful the person looks, how handsome he looks in youth. Huh? Lovely, strong, energetic, agile. Right? And then as he peaks, then gradually there's a decline. Everything begins to fail. He wants to maintain that, doing some gymming, running, exercising, right? So whatever, dying to his beard, to his hair, right? Styling everything, right? But whatever you do, whichever way you look at life, you have to decline. Once you peak, then you have to decline. مَا جَعَلْنَا لِبَشَرٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ الْخُلْدِ Allah Ta'ala hasn't created eternal life for anybody. Came, you have to go. But Mubarak Baad us aadmi ko, Shabash, that he went, but the time he met Allah Ta'ala, he met Allah Ta'ala as an excellent person. He showed that remorse, he corrected himself. Some 3 weeks back, I had to give ghusl to one person. So, his family phoned up and they say, okay, about 2 months before his dying, before his death, and he was very remorseful. And he would really wake up at night and cry to Allah, Allah, make me maaf. Make me maaf. And Allah, don't take away my soul until and unless you're happy with me. Nearly every night he will say the same thing. Yeah. Allah Ta'ala, you know, I am sinful, I ask for forgiveness, I ask for tawbah for the wrong that I've been doing. But don't take away my soul, O Allah Ta'ala, until and unless you're happy with me. Now all that happened, then we discovered after he passed away, that there was a madrasa, a little bit of poor children, all that, 100, some 80, 90 children there, running some his class and all that. So after he passed away, the children said, you know that uncle had passed away, he used to bring kebabs and kalya for us every day. And the madrasa authority, nobody knew about him. Absolutely nobody knows about him. But this man came in the quiet, he fed them, was making tawbah, correcting himself. And his luck struck, Allah Ta'ala gave him a Mubarak death on Friday. What else you want? So Amare Khuda hame khwot chahta hai. Allah Ta'ala likes us, He loves us. It's just that do we appreciate this? Do we understand that Allah Ta'ala loves us? And He wants us to turn, to correct, so that we may become eligible to His grace, eligible to His mercy. There must be some rahmat-e-khuda bahana chahta hai. The mercy of Allah Ta'ala is looking for an excuse to bless you. But are there any takers? Is there any person that is wanting to? So, when Jigar Sahib heard about this, no, I can't, I have to move. See, that making amends. The world has been designed such that for everything, there is a procedure. An ant, that thing was crying to a pigeon, you know. So a pigeon or it saw an eagle, so crying to that thing. So that eagle is trying to console the ant, and dear ant, why are you crying like this, man? Why are you crying like this? Cheer up a little bit. See, I'm cheering up. I'm flying so high. I'm cheering up, laughing, enjoying life. So you must cheer up also. So the ant complains to that eagle that you see, you're such a flyer. You're such a flyer. You're covering 300 k's in an hour. And these falcons, they fly at a very high speed. So you're flying at such a speed. And then you want to go to the Haram Sharif. You want to go to Makkah Mukarramah. In just a few hours you are there, or maybe a day or 2 days you are there.
When you go to Madina Munawwara, in another flight you were there in Madina Munawwara. Me, a poor little ant, I can't travel so far, number one. Even if I try, I can't cross the ocean. I'm going to go through the jungle. How am I going to reach there? So that thing cried. When he cried, the eagle's heart opened out. Allah Pak has designed the world with procedures. Follow the procedure, you'll come to the end. But now you want to come to the end, but no procedure. You want children, so isn't there a procedure? Right. Can't say, I'll go to the masjid, make namaz and zikr, and I'll get children. So Allah Ta'ala created some procedures. You follow those procedures, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala will bless you with children. But you don't want to follow the procedure, just want to sit in the masjid, and no effort involved, you're not going to get children. Allah Ta'ala made it happen once, for Isa alayhi salam, that he was born without the agency of a man, right? So that was a miracle. There was a miracle, now it's not going to be repeated. And why it's not going to be repeated? If now someone claims that he is born as a miracle child from this woman here, nobody's going to believe him. Because at that time when Isa alayhi salam was born, then wahi was still coming, a revelation was coming. When the revelation was coming, wahi was coming, it was supported. Now, alright, this is a divine child. He came from heaven. Now is there any wahi and revelation that's going to support you? If you claim now, I am a divine, and been born without the agency of man, any support. So obviously then, there'll be false allegations, there'll be false accusations. Man will be living in embarrassment, right? So Allah stopped it. So the general practice, general rule in this world, you follow procedure, inshallah, you reach your end. See, Allah Pak says also, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ Slipped up, Allah Pak accepts the tawbah of a person who commits a wrong in ignorance. Now when Allah Pak says he accepts the tawbah, when the person commits, when he commits a wrong in ignorance, what is meant by ignorance? The right thing is to learn the Quran Sharif by someone who specialized, right? Not on our own. Because we're going to come to the wrong conclusions. Imagine if this verse is read independently, that the man committed a wrong, and provided the wrong was committed in ignorance, then only the gates of Tawbah are open to him. So who doesn't know that zina is haram? Can you see a Muslim that doesn't know that zina is haram? But yet you hear someone committing that wrong. Who doesn't know that wine is haram? But you will still see someone slipping in, right? So if he reads this verse independently, then he say, well, I'm not eligible. Because I can't conform to the condition. Condition is that you must do the wrong in ignorance. And I've done the wrong knowingly. So is there any tawbah for me? Is there any chance for me to get accepted? So now, see, doing that independent study and where it leads you to. So now, the experts have explained what is the meaning of ignorance here. See, in Surah Yusuf, Allah speaks about the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ So Yusuf alayhi salam is addressing his brothers. Do you know what you people did to Yusuf and his brother when you were ignorant, when you were jahils? So these children coming from the children of Nubuwwat, are they ignorant of the fact that attempted murder is haram? Are they ignorant? They know about it. But the same word has been used here. هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفَ وَأَخِيهِ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ Do you know how you treated Yusuf and his brother when you were ignorant? Now, what is the meaning of ignorance here? The meaning of ignorance here is this. That you committed the wrong, right? You know, in the back of your mind, you know it's wrong. But at that moment, you were overwhelmed with your temptation. Your temptation just blocked off your intelligence. You couldn't reason any longer. Look at a person now, when his intelligence is blocked off, is clouded, then can he reason at that moment? He can't reason. Then you want some instant gratification. Say, all right, I'll make tawbah afterwards. But now instantly, he wants to do it. You saw something on the WhatsApp, you see it. I know it's wrong now, but now that instant gratification is having the bit over you. I want to see the thing. You heard a song now, it's your song that you were very, 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 very familiar with. I heard it after some years, you want to hear it again. Your heart is moved. Tears are rolling from your eyes when you hear the old song, the old numbers, right? So you are affected with it. But you know that music is haram. You know about it, it's not right. But your temptations have the better of you. You're getting overwhelmed. So this is the meaning of doing a wrong in ignorance. Now you see, these people that are specialized, aren't they a blessing? And aren't we creating problems? We are creating the problems. These people that are experts, really they are blessing. You know, we know what the Quran Sharif speaks of here. That at that moment, you know, you are so overwhelmed that your intelligence is clouded at that moment. You can't reason at that time. When you can't reason at that time, you plunge into the wrong. And after you've come off the wrong, then you think, hey, what have I done? Then only after you've come or reeled out of the wrong, then only do you realize, what have I done? I messed it up now. Now, is there any way for me? Is there any way to correct myself? So that Bani Adam is that person, child of Adam alayhi salam. You commit the wrong, but you're remorseful. And you're not justifying the wrong. You're remorseful about it. Labak, I'm missing it. I'm wrong. I'm gunegar. I'm acknowledging. I'm doing like what my father Adam alayhi salam did. He made a mistake and he accepted, he confessed. And then look for some procedure to correct yourself without justifying. Now this justifying process has become too common. It's out of fashion now. One person is listening to music. I can see the full music is listening. The musical instruments and everything. And then he tells me, you know, Mona, I'm only listening to the words, not listening to all the rest of it. So this justifying process is everywhere. Isi tarah se haram ko halal bana do. Make the haram into halal. But that's not the way. The right way is, consider, believe the haram to be haram. Allah, I messed it up, I'm wrong, I accept my mistake, I am confessing that I committed wrong. One person is doing, he's doing usury. So he says, no, I'm just taking my share of the profits. My commodity is my wealth, I'm taking my share of the profits. So he is messing it up. The other person is doing wrong, he's saying that I'm eating rubbish, I'm eating filth. He doesn't mince up his words. So this wrong, believe the wrong to be wrong. أَحِلُّ حَلَالَهُ وَحَرِّمُ حَرَامَهُ A Hafiz who wants to have that position on the day of Qiyamah, where his parents will be crowned, right? Provided that Hafiz أَحِلَّ حَلَالَهُ وَحَرَّمُ حَرَامَهُ He accepts the haram to be haram, the halal to be halal. Don't mess up the word. Don't mess up the rules of Allah Ta'ala. So we're talking about this jigar, you know. Right? And we're talking about this ant thereafter. And the ant is saying to this eagle, you're a high flyer, you're moving 300, 400 k's an hour, you move. So you can imagine now, in 24 hours you'll be there already. Just calculate. You know, and you will get there right there in 24 hours. Me, poor little ant, I had the can. So the eagle says, no, there can be a way for you. See my wings. So I got a broad heart. Look at my generosity. Look at my compassion. I've got love in my heart. So I can make a plan for you. But then you must conform, you must agree. What I need to do, what you need to do is this. Right? That you tuck yourself into my feathers. And you mustn't ask any questions. See. Now if the ant becomes like a clever thing and says, oh, what is the proof, you know? Where did you get the proof that I must get into your feathers and hold tight and all that? Where's the Quranic ayat for that? And where's the hadith for that? Show it to me from the Quran hadith. The eagle says, I don't know all these things here, but you're not interested, you carry on, I'll carry on. And a simple thing, like you take a flight to Medina, you're taking a flight to Makkah Mukarramah, right? So the flight crew will explain to you, close the doors, right? And you won't be able to open any door, nor will you be able to bust any window while you're in flight, right? And if you're going to plead to them, you know, by staff or the hostess, or please, you know, in my entire life, I always breathe with fresh air. So you must give me this opportunity of breathing fresh air. Please, don't deprive me. You know, sorry, we can't take him onto the flight. Now, 2 months ago, that window just bust, right? And the pressure at that level, 5,000 meters above, right? Pressure and the speed was such that it just pulled him off dead. You can't handle it. It's, the pressure is so much, the speed is such, and then something cracks, the window busts, man goes vacuumed out, scooped out. So the flight crew will tell you, we can't, no matter how much what you say, but we can't conform with your conditions. You have to agree to us. You agree with us, we'll take you to Makkah Mukarrama, we'll give you a reduced price, but you will have to agree with us. So no, my conditions, leave the door open, leave this open here. We can't do it. So the same will happen in any correction process. You want to amend, make amends, correct yourself. So they'll ask you to conform to certain standards. Those standards they ask you to conform to may not be faraz, may not be sunnat, but they'll ask you, by just conform to these standards. And you say, no, where's the hadith? So we'll ask you again, you want to go to Makkah, Mukarram, where's the hadith? That you must keep the door closed. Where's the hadith for that? But you know, that's the procedure. In order to get there, you have to keep the door closed. That's the procedure. Otherwise, you won't reach. You're going to be risking your life. Risk the life of others as well. So it's the same here now. They'll ask you to conform to certain things. Like they may ask you, right, you don't understand, get involved in discussions. They may ask you this. You want to correct yourself, right? You say, no, but you know, discussions is healthy. Your mind opens out. Well, you carry on. But I can't help you. I can't help you. Because the procedure is this, that, you know, for you to become right, your mind has to have the composure. And you're going to get yourself torn in arguments and discussions. The composure will be lost. When the composure will be lost, then you can't have a direction. And I can't take you from it. The more I want to take you, I can't take you. You argue the point, argument is very healthy, discussion, debate, critical, you must be critical, you know. Then only your mind will open up. So, you carry on your way, let me carry on my way. She's not going to waste time with you. So this eagle says to this ant, I can work out a plan for you to come to Makkah, to Medina, but you must agree. What you must agree with, one is you must tuck yourself into my further deep right inside. And number two, throughout the duration of the flight, you mustn't ever think of taking a stroll. 24 hours, I say, I'm parking here, 24 hours, sluggish, no movement, stuck up here in the feathers, can't do anything. And you want to take a stroll. You want to open your eyes and you want to take a stroll, then I can't help you. Because you're going to take a stroll, say I'm in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, or the middle of the Indian Ocean, and you want to take a stroll, you will fall, never to get up again. So he's not going to explain to you all this, but he says, but you just have to listen to me. Don't move out of this. Whatever I instruct you, you will listen to me, and inshallah you'll come to Makkah, you'll come to Medina, I'll bring you back to your hometown. If he listens to the eagle, inshallah he'll reach. But he wants it his own way, can it happen? So this jigar, he understands, you know, I need to correct myself, then I need to make myself available for the procedure. Whatever procedure they require of me, then I need to make myself available, whatever they say. You're going for surgery, the doctor will say, alright, for 24 hours you mustn't eat anything. The whole system must be totally empty, then only can we operate you. So now my best food, you know, I would have a braai, there's going to be pastries. Doctor say, well, keep enjoying yourself, don't waste my time. So everything requires a procedure. Tawbah also requires a procedure. You follow the procedure, it'll come right. Anyway, Jigar came into Thanabon. When he came into Thanabon, so he's sitting there near the house. India up till now, many universities have got like ponds, small ponds, like Grecian University, see a pond, right? So that was the original Indian style. So the pond there, he's sitting there, and he's got his shaving set, and he's shaving off his beard. Now Mora is pulling him. Mora says, yeh ghar mein ja karke kar lete hai. Yahan par aakar ke karte hai, iski kya zarurat thi? Mora didn't tell him anything, but in his mind he's thinking, what was the need for him to do it here? So daddy at home, why came here unto you? Anyway, after he shaved and made himself nice and presentable, now he comes to Molana. So obviously it's the mind of Molana, you know, why, but this person, he had to shave, he could have shaved at home, but why did he have to do it here? So he says to Molana, you know what? See, I didn't want you to have a wrong impression of myself. I want to show you in my true colors. This is Jigar. How you see him now, drunkard, clean shaven, this is myself. So that you get a clear picture, you get a true picture, and you can put in the corrections of your choice. But if I give you a false picture, I'm a very pious person, I've got a kurta, I've got all these things here, and meanwhile I've got a history, I've got a path of my own, then you won't know my wrongs. When you won't know my wrongs, you won't know how to correct me. So let me come in, and let me come in, show you the true picture. See. Now, when we come to a shaykh, three quarter of the story you leave it behind, only quarter that is a little bit agreeable, looking nice, palatable. Well, you know, I think I made ghibah, that's some small, simple thing. And how to cure myself. But the serious issues, I robbed someone, and I cheated this person here, I was sleeping with a girl this side here. All these things, we don't want to explain these things. But now, when you come in, you're coming in with a clean sheet, saying, no, this is my wrong. I've wronged, I've erred up here, I've slipped up here, I've made a mistake here. I want to correct myself. Show me the procedure. So the man was truthful. Although he was a gunegar kisam kadmi, sharabi kababi admi the. Although he was a sharabi admi, but he was truthful, he was honest to himself. Allah pak likes this. You're being truthful, you're being honest. And that one meeting, true to his word, that one meeting was enough to bring about a revolution to his life. Now, he stayed there for that few days to correct himself, get an understanding, and he returned home. Now he chucked that habit, he threw that habit complete, broken it complete. As a result, he became very seriously ill, extremely serious, between death and life. Wealthy person, so the surgeons were there to see him. Now they understood his life and all that. Said, "Bhai, have some push, throw us a pillow. It will save your life at least. We have asked the ulama now, you know, to save your life, you can take a little bit and you save your life." Now, when the man is sincere, then he talks from his heart. He doesn't really talk from his brain, he talks from his heart. Now he says, "But see, when the tawbah is right, man has taken a new leaf. He's changed his life. His intelligence, his understanding, everything begins to improve. He goes on a different level." Now he says to the surgeon or that physician that is correcting him or guiding him, he says, "You know what? If I'm meant to die, this medication won't help me. If Allah has decreed me to die, this is not going to help me. If I'm decreed to live, then what's the difference? I take it or don't take it. I'll go through a small patch, come right again. I'm meant to live. If I'm meant to live, then I don't need to take this thing. And if I'm decreed to die, then isn't it going to be a terrible scenario that I've got a napak thing in my mouth and meeting Allah Ta'ala in that state? How can I ever meet Allah Ta'ala in that state that I've got a napak thing in my mouth? How can I ever do such a thing?" But you see how his intelligence, reasoning, everything improves. Everything comes right. Allah Ta'ala gave him total recovery thereafter. But you see, then the second meeting now, this jigar now he gives his poetry. He gives a poetry to the Mu'tani Sahib Rahmatullah. He says, "Teri talab bhi kisi ka karam ka sadaqa hai. Ye kadam uthte nahi hai, uthaya jate hai." The fact that I feel to come to you, listen to your discourses, correct myself, you know. "Teri talab bhi kisi ka karam ka sadaqa hai." You know, I've got this urge, this desire to meet the Ahlullah, the friends of Allah Ta'ala, the awliya. So this talab that I've got in my heart, this urge that I've got, is not of my own accord, not my own doing. It is a dua of some righteous person, some awliya. Someone must have made some dua. And with the blessings of their dua, I've got an urge to come and meet you. Nabi Sallam had made dua for the hidayat of Umar radiallahu anhu or Abu Jahl, right? And the next day, Umar radiallahu anhu is on the path of hidayat. So it's teri talab bhi kisi ka karam ka sadaqa hai. Nabi Sallam made the dua, and the Abu Jahl is on, and Umar radiallahu anhu becomes the second best man of this world after the Anbiya alayhi salam. But you see whose dua it was. Then he says, "Ye qadam uthte nahi hai, uthaye jate hai." This feet don't move on its own. It is someone's blessing, someone's du'as, someone's blessing, some work of goodness, kindness you have done to someone at some time. Maybe it's your parents, maybe it was your friend, your brother, some relative or someone. But you were kind to him, you were compassionate, you were loving, you blocked that person's fault, you overlooked him. He was harsh towards you, but you were good and kind towards him. You responded his aggression
with kindness, with compassion and love. So these type of actions and amal are very, very much liked by Allah Ta'ala. So for the wrong that you have done, Allah Ta'ala covers you up, and then Allah Ta'ala leads you. Because is there anybody that is appreciative as Allah Ta'ala? Nobody is appreciative as Allah Ta'ala. So this verse of the Quran, look at it. Again, إِنَّمَا التَّوْبَةُ عَلَى اللَّهِ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السُّوءَ بِجَهَالَةٍ. You committed the wrong in ignorance. Ignorance, what does it mean? That you were unmindful of the consequence. You became so overwhelmed with that desire that you didn't consider the consequence. I'm going to do this wrong here. What's going to be the consequence that's going to be following? You didn't consider. So that's the meaning of ignorance. ثُمَّ يَتُوبُونَ مِنْ قَرِيبٍ. Then soon thereafter you ask for forgiveness, ask for tawbah. Now qareeb, what does it mean? Qareeb means any time before death. Even if it's a day, one day before you die. Even if it is 2 hours before you die. But you sincerely turn to Allah Ta'ala before the sakarat. I messed it up. You forgive me. Allah Ta'ala, you forgive me. I won't do this again. So you're dying as a friend of Allah Ta'ala. At-taibu min al-dhamb kaman la dhamb lahu. At-taibu habibullah. Hadith says, that the one that is sincere about tawbah, is correcting himself, amending, trying to bring himself right, he's working, according to his capacity, how much he can, he's managing. Right? So Allah Ta'ala says, that I have wiped out all your sins. But you sincere in your tawbah, I wiped out all your sins. No matter what was your past, but you tried, even though it was just 1 hour before you could die, but you tried to correct yourself. Then I wipe out all your sins. And not only that, but a taibu habibullah, you became the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. Not only have I forgiven you, and forgiven all your past, but you become my beloved, my dear son. So isn't this a clear example, illustration of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, ghaffari, rahimi, kareemi, shan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Isn't it a clear illustration? So even after all this, then too, we don't try, we don't work ourselves towards that, in that direction, then who can be blamed besides ourselves? So these are the Mubarak months, I say, Zulqada, Zilhijjah, coming Muharram, these are all three Mubarak months. Try, correct ourselves, mistakes that we are making here and there. Follow the procedures, correct ourselves. And if it is that is decreed, I'm going in a good way. And if it is we are meant to live, then this will be an inspiration. The whole year will go well. Allah bar tawfiq naseeb kare. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulihi al-Kareem. Wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Wa in lam taghfir lana wa tarhamna. Lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana. Wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. Innaka antal wahhab. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.